Hey, what's poppin', part two? Let's do it. Got all kinds of things going on. Got some interesting audio, some interesting phone numbers. Not just Alcor, some of our celebrity friends who seem to be avoiding us or not returning our calls, like Andy Dick. We did get his, we got his message, didn't we? Wasn't that his machine, his VM? So
maybe if you heard Charlie answered the phone, Andy,
yeah,
want to be in on it.
We've been a little bit of a roll here lately.
Yeah.
We'd love Andy Dick to be part of it. And, oh, Roland, from the Leif Garrett's good friend, from the infamous Behind the Music. You were Roland?
I don't remember the Roland component of the story, but...
He's the guy that was paralyzed in the accident.
Oh, that Roland. Yeah, of course I know. Roland.
Got all of Leif's money.
Yeah, the one who looks like Johnny Winter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, or Edgar.
Or Edgar.
Take your pick. How did people tell Johnny and Edgar Winter apart? I wonder what a family member would say.
They went, Johnny! And whichever one looked was Johnny.
Cool.
Now, they're twins? Because don't they slight albino twins? What are the chances?
Were they twins?
I have no idea.
Or did they both just look...
I thought they were, you know, different eggs, but...
They're albino?
How could both of them be albino?
All I know is that one of them did Free Ride.
Yeah.
Which one was it?
And
it was
one of
Edgar,
them did Frankenstein.
It? Oh, did... So each brother had one hit?
Let me look.
Edgar was born
I think one. Each one did have one hit.
1946, December 28th, 46.
Okay.
Why? How could
Johnny
be?
Was born February 23rd, 1944.
Oh, that's crazy. They're 4 years apart. We thought they were twins.
Are they albinos? How
well,
could you
Edgar
give
that? Edgar is. I don't know if... were they? Yeah, they both are albinos.
How can two egg cells with albinism, which is rare... happen in the same womb?
Maybe it's more likely.
Is it, in, it must be in the DNA.
Yeah.
You know, God, you know the story about the guy, and this story got no legs whatsoever because it was a driver who was shot by police. He was killed, in fact. But the driver was white and the shooter was black. And so nobody cares. I mean, talk about a life not mattering.
The guy that's deaf?
Yeah, it's the deaf guy. Yeah, uh-huh. So anyway, of course the family, his family is livid about it. And not only are they livid about it, they feel that nobody cares about our brother because he's white and the cop was black. So that they're kind of caught up in the political
nobody
melee
cares.
Of
right.
the day.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of bullshit. I mean, although...
Well, you think it would help their argument if it's, you know, if you're against cop violence, quote unquote.
Yeah, but he's white, so...
I know, but who I'm not saying me.
Must have earned it, I think. That
whomever think is.
The feeling is if you're white and you get shot by a cop, you really earned it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whereas they're just flip about shooting black people.
Right.
That's
just
their point.
Happens.
Is there anything new on that story?
Not really. No, it's really not got much traction, other than that they're investigating it, I think.
Huh.
Anyway.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
In the course of that story, and I don't know if this qualifies as serious issue shallow thought. Not really, because I don't think it was that shallow. I end up reading that the white guy, deaf guy that was shot,
uh-huh,
has a deaf brother and a deaf sister.
Oh, my God.
Like, what happened? Did the parents, like, crank music in that house? Or were these people, I mean, because I didn't think that was a genetic thing, deafness?
Yeah, well, yeah, it can be at birth. Uh-huh.
So if you have deaf parents, you're likely to be deaf? Or more likely, maybe?
I don't know. I when I coached football for a while, there was one kid that played, and good kid, but would not shut the fuck up ever. You know, he was always talking.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, what's up with Jason? He's just always talking. Good dude. Just always talking, though. And then I was notified that both his parents are deaf. So when he gets around people that can hear, he talks up a storm because at home he has to communicate with sign language.
Oh, wow.
So it's just, he's like, oh, this is my chance to talk. He like has to spell everything out.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that wild? He's a good dude.
Just shut your goddamn pie hole.
Yeah, you didn't think so when he was a little chatterbox,
just,
now, did you?
No, I thought he was a good dude. It's just like, why won't he shut up?
Well,
you're
no.
coaching. You want the people to listen.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
I thought I saw the parent, one of the parents of the guy that was killed, and I could have sworn she was not deaf. That story. I got to look that up. That's just
all I know. If both
call Marley Matlin.
If both parents are left-handed, you're 50% chance that the offspring will be left-handed.
50?
50, 5-0.
Mm-hmm. I thought there's still a recessive gene, though.
If both parents are left-handed.
Mm.
If neither is, it's only like 1%. And if one is, it jumps up to like 4 or 5.
I'm the 1%. Huh. There are a couple lefties in my family.
I'm one of the 50.
Oh, you, both my, your parents
both
are
my
lefties?
My parents are lefties,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
I did, clearly, obviously, I did a report on it.
Oh, in school?
When I was like in sixth grade.
Isn't that funny?
My parents still have it.
Can you think of stuff you did reports on that you laugh about now?
My parents still have my... you know what? I'm going to get it and bring it in so you can laugh at it. The left-handed one they have and also the one I did on ants.
Ants?
In fourth grade. Ants.
Ants? Why not?
Ants. I'll tell you all about the thorax.
Yeah, well.
Oh, the thorax. Whoa.
Thoraxes.
It's a large area. Covers a lot of ground.
You learn
thorax.
So. I just remember I was pumped because I got to have an ant farm. I was so pumped.
Ooh, how long did it last, though?
The ant farm?
Yeah.
A long time.
Really? You kept them going? I don't understand them well enough.
I thought
it was
so cool.
Ants are so boring.
Well, I don't know. Remember?
Although, wait, they can carry a really high percentage of their weight, can't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And remember your
I
rap?
Remember that. Isn't that in a movie?
Your rap on ants is that
boring.
They're on blow.
Yeah, they yes, are really they busy. Are.
Because you can destroy their house and then like 5 minutes later, it's built again.
Yeah, they do well.
I know.
They're amazing.
We got to get an ant farm in here.
Okay. If you know how to
Drew,
take care of them.
Can we have an ant farm in here?
No ant farms.
What? Why not?
Because LaDuff will make fun of it. He'll claim that the ants are coming through the walls or something.
Oh, it's a good
house
thing
has
not.
Ants.
Jay, can we have an ant farm? Sure. Jay votes yes.
Oh, wow.
So if I get Charlie, if Charlie will promise not to make fun of it?
No, I don't think we need an ant farm. I think it's boring, like Trump said.
Oh, come on. You know what's funny? His drop kept...
Boring! Boring!
Kept rolling through my head today watching his speech from Mexico.
It boring.
What was his speech, by the way?
It was weird.
Was
I mean,
prompted?
You're used... not prompter, but he had papers in front of him. You're used to, like, crazy Trump.
Yeah.
And so when it's not crazy Trump, it's like, it's just boring. Boring.
Yeah, it's weird seeing him boring.
Yeah.
Because usually he's kind of interesting if he's going off the cuff. You never know where he's going.
It was pretty stupid.
He kind of set himself up there, though. You know, you have to keep that level up all the time.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Hey, I just thought of something for, I want to say, high school and for college. I was always trying to weasel reports or term papers on... Like the Beatles. I know I did one on the Beatles in high school, and then I did one on, I believe it was punk rock.
Cool.
Oh.
New Wave in college.
Yeah.
And that was for a radio production class? Because I'm saying, how the fuck did I do that? How did I manage to do that with a radio class? But anyway, I was always trying to do stories on stuff I liked somehow.
Absolutely.
Some way. Did you do that ever?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
what'd
you do? What'd you do? I did one on pot, too, in college. I was in a pot.
Right.
At the time, I did a lengthy piece on legalization of pot. I had to give a speech on it. It was a public speaking class.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. It was pretty cool. I remember the class was very attentive.
I did one on the expansion of the NFL in my public speaking class.
Yes! Yes!
Absolutely. I had the mapping, you know, what a map nerd. So this market and this market, I aced it because it's stuff you care about.
Yeah, you care about it, so you believe in it.
Totally nerdy. Nobody I was speaking to gave a shit.
You probably talked over a lot of people's heads, which makes them feel like it's well-researched.
I always wanted to go to space, so mine were
cool.
Planets
you did NASA
stuff? Yeah.
Oh, planets?
Yeah, because we had a poster on the wall with all the planets on it.
Okay, what planet did you do a report on?
Uranus.
Uranus.
That's just too easy of a joke.
Did you do one on Uranus, seriously?
No.
She did, and she called it Uranus.
No, Mars.
Like a bore.
You know, because there's a possibility of stuff going on there.
Oh, you went on Mars? Seriously?
Yeah.
Do you remember much about it?
There's a possibility of stuff going on there. What a great report.
Did you have to do a public... Was that something you had to speak about? Or
no,
just
no, it was not public speaking. Oh, okay. But you had to write. I had to write a report about it.
Did you guys ever have to do public speaking class?
I think we did have to stand up. That is the worst. And like, in contrast to now, that was the worst moment. Because you build up...
It was
up
terrifying.
So much anxiety about it before you do it, and then you're up there and you're doing it, and then afterward you're like, God, why did I do that?
Do you remember
get
what
your
you
face out in public and let's live where people have to see you every day.
Yeah.
Do you remember what she had to speak about?
I have no idea what that report was, but
I'm kind of surprised that I remember those doing those reports on like the Beatles and on punk rock, but because they spent a lot of time with that subject and we're just writing stuff down and trying to like figure out a way to actually make it conceivable.
You had to sell it to the
prof? You had to sell it, definitely. And you know, if you like something a lot, you can sell it.
I still have some of my Blue Book exams.
Oh, really? From college?
Mark, you kept everything.
God, well, my mom keeps a lot of the crap, like from. But when after college, I just threw it on a box, and I still have it. Last time I was going through this box of shit, I started reading it, and I was horrified at how bad it was.
What age were you when you were doing that stuff? College?
College? Yeah, Blue Book, and for Philip, the minor of philosophy. Which, what a waste of time that was. But just writing about it.
Well, like, I don't know.
This idiot doesn't know anything. talking about myself 20 years prior.
You could have gone
dope. I was
back in time.
I know. It's busted just your own balls. Terrible. It's really bad.
I recall doing a. We had a. I don't know why this was part of what grade this was, but we did something where we were given a canvas of some kind, and I think it was like needlepoint or something where you actually made, you had to come up with something you put on the, whatever this canvas was made out of through, you know, it was like sewing sort of.
Really?
Yeah. And it was in class.
Jesus.
And I made, either like the Nina, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria.
What's the difference between those?
I know nothing. And I remember thinking, I was horrified about it because it's like, well, first of all, it seemed kind of gay, you know. What you're doing. And I mean, even at my young age, I was thinking this wasn't really my area for some reason because I remember my mom doing the same thing. It just seemed like a girl thing. But then once I got into it, I thought that's really good. And actually, I think my mom framed it. And I remember it was up in the back hallway, which was not like. The finer works of the family did not go in the back hallway.
Right.
I didn't think about that at the time.
For the lesser art.
It also contained a couple of pictures from the trip to San Diego when I refused to look at this Indian. They wanted me. They saw our family and thought, oh, you look a really photogenic family.
Yeah.
Because we were all little. I mean, I was little and my little brother Chuck was probably just born. And my sisters were in like late grade school. My brother was probably 10 or 11. And I not only refused to look at the Indian in the pictures, which pissed them off because everyone's looking there and I'm looking somewhere else, but I also was carrying envelopes because I was in the envelopes phase where I thought it was cool to have envelopes because it was mail. I just thought, and so I wouldn't relinquish the envelopes. So the picture's like, hey, it looks like a perfect family, except for that weirdo with the envelopes looking somewhere else. And I've heard about this for years, my entire life. My sister would go, oh, and you wouldn't let go of your stupid envelopes, and you wouldn't look at the Indian, and you could have been the perfect family on their brochure for the next 100 years, but
you're
such a dick.
Well, did you open that envelope the other day when you were opening the rest of the envelopes? Maybe that's something, you know, why you did that.
No, see, there was nothing on them. They were just envelopes. But I carried envelopes
like
around with me. You know, like, yeah, I got my mail. You got your mail? Oh, yeah. Oh. You got your mail? Yeah, me
Charlotte,
too.
Charlotte gets off on the mail for some reason.
Really?
It's just crap.
I did, too. My brother had a thing with keys.
Oh, yeah. I can see
that. Until he swallowed one.
Did he have to pass it?
Well, that's the ugly part of the story is that he retrieved it.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
a key to what?
Oh,
he just liked having keys, and so he had a big key ring, a keychain. You know,
oh,
like,
keys you didn't use
old
anymore.
Keys, right, that nobody used.
Your mention of San Diego reminded me. I thought of another thing that's at my parents' house that I can steal and bring in is a San Diego Padre I made out of clay in fourth grade.
Oh, that's I made
the
a lot of that.
Worst looking piece of shit I've ever seen in my life.
A San Diego Padre?
We had to make something out of clay. So I'm like, oh, I'll make a baseball player. And I like the colors, the pee and poop uniform. So
the brown yellow and
yellow.
And brown?
Yeah.
Wow. Of all the things, too.
He's got a little hat that goes on, a glove that's way too large, not to scale. it's so bad because I can't draw to save my life.
I've never been good at that either.
And yeah, I'm not terribly artistic. It's so bad. I'm going to go raid their house and just bring a bunch of crap here.
You know, that stuff could be really amusing, actually.
Oh yeah,
thinking back on it is it was always a matter of getting over somehow. Just like how can I make this project go away the easiest way possible? And I always found that by doing topics that I liked. If I could somehow justify doing them, that was a way I could pull it off.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Lord.
I wrote the report on Nixon.
Ooh.
And how, again, another space program thing, but because he canceled the space program and my dad lost his job.
Oh, what? So did you light up Nixon?
Kind of, yeah.
Nice.
Did you get a good grade?
I got a good grade, but I just remember back then.
What age?
I think this was like seventh or eighth grade.
Oh, okay.
But do you remember, you know, like you had to type it on a typewriter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we have no longer. We no longer have the finger.
I remember. Tell your story about when you were in college.
Oh, you never typed your
papers? Didn't you pay someone to type all your papers?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just could not type for shit.
But you wrote it out longhand. That's crazy.
I know. It's ridiculous, but I just was not. I just was so slow. I just hunt and pecked, and it was just too slow. And I knew people who were really fast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, want to make a couple bucks. People were always advertising that they did that. I would always see that on, like, Rides and Riders, you know, on the bulletin boards. And you see people, you know, we'll type term papers, you know, 50 cents a page or something. And
Why not?
I'll do that.
Well, that was the day when it was brutal writing a page because if you made a mistake, you had to use whiteout.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it amazing to think of the progress?
I'll never forget in high school because we had word processors, you know, and, you know, the spread out early 90s. And so you'd write, naturally, the font would be Times New Roman, like when you opened it. That's what it would always be. I remember someone one day was like, you idiot, use Courier, man. I'm like, what do you mean? Use Curry. The font's way larger. You'll get an extra page. What? Like all these extra words for nothing? Like, yeah. Because it had to be 12-point font and nothing else. But the Courier font, for some reason, was wider or larger. I don't know. The 12-point font.
Finding a way to somehow stretch, you know, 3.5 pages to 4 pages rather than just write another half page.
See how stupid you were?
I know. All the trouble you would go to get that extra half page somehow by stretching out or rewriting it in bigger words.
I just like that my friend scoffed at me. Idiot, use Courier.
I didn't know that. Did not know that.
There's a couple stories today I thought were just... This one is just plain stupid, and it's about the DPS, all the teachers that took the bribes from this Norman Shy.
Yeah.
I can't for the life of me figure out what was this guy's thing, Norman Shy, who was in his 60s at the time when he started this program, and he gets 11 or 12 principals to participate in something where he would build the Detroit schools for all this tutoring.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of supplies, too, right? Supplies. Yeah.
And if you don't have to provide them,
right.
It's a pretty cost-effective model.
So he might do, $100,000 worth of supplies. He'd bill your school. This principal who's in the program says, yep, we've got all wonderful, you know, pay the bill. And they'd pay Shy the 100 grand or whatever. And then he'd turn around and maybe send 25 grand to the principal. But, of course,
it's a big scam.
Shy makes out in the end $2.7 million.
Yeah.
And first of all, there was his widow or his wife who was saying, I didn't agree to this stupid scam.
I just didn't know.
Don't take my house away. And then it's sort of morphed to, I get half the house. You can't have the whole house. And the house is a condo he bought not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well into this scam. The scam might have even been damn near over when he bought it.
Is that how it usually works if you own something with someone and they're the criminal and you didn't know?
No, that's not usually the way it works. Doesn't matter. It's like he paid for this, and that's money he stole, and fuck you, lady.
Yeah.
But if her name's on it.
Yeah, because they're married. So, I mean, Madoff's wife got...
Oh, she got
a... She got a couple million bucks.
Nice deal, but then...
Actually, no, she didn't get that much.
She had to live in a shitty... Well, not a shitty apartment. A small apartment in a Tony area of Connecticut.
Her lifestyle was dramatically altered. And, you know, that's actually what I couldn't stand about Madoff, was just that he lived like such royalty, you know, with the jets everywhere. You know, he owned, didn't he have 2 or 3 planes?
Yeah.
And he had those giant yachts and houses all over the place. I mean, that's disgusting when I think about it.
He scammed charities, too.
Oh, in the biggest way, the Jewish charities?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, millions and millions of dollars. Anyway, Shy wasn't that big, but $2.7 million was a lot of money. And this condo was a sweet condo. 1.2
Where was it?
1.1 million?
Franklin.
Franklin, that's right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And so the judge finally determined that
1.1 mil.
She's worthy of a quarter, right?
Yeah.
A quarter of the property?
Right.
So I guess she will get 275,000 would be a quarter of 1.1 million, like something like
that. She'll be fine.
She can get herself a decent
proceeds
place
from the sale.
Absolutely.
And he's of course asking for all kinds of leniency, but there's this other.
You should sell it for a dollar.
Please tell me. Yeah. Please tell me they show the old video of this guy.
I think they do.
Okay.
This is one of the principals. Story about one of the principals in this thing who's been sentenced. I don't know if he's been sentenced yet. He's been found guilty. I know that.
I think he's the last one to be sentenced, isn't he?
Yeah. I think you're right.
Chris, thank you. He's the principal facing prison time for taking bribes and cheating students out of their school supplies. But now, some parents are pleading with the judge to let Ronald Alexander to go free and come back to Spain Elementary School. Tonight, Fox 2's Charlie Langton talks to the parents who call Alexander a hero despite his guilty plea.
This man, Ronald Alexander, the former principal of Spain Elementary Middle School, he was a popular guy.
But my teachers so willingly volunteer.
That's Mr.
Ellen
Alexander
there, right?
Accepting
yeah,
a check from Ellen DeGeneres for $500,000 for Spain. But just 1 month later, Alexander, along with other principals and DPS personnel.
Who's the lady pictured with him?
That's what I was just going to say. The lady that drives me insane in this whole story, that's like Ellen's surrogate. Right. Oh. She's the one that goes and surprises them with the money.
Okay.
And she's like, you know, she's crying and has her arm around him. It's like, you
didn't they have a giant check, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big check.
That's how Shy paid him, too, in a giant check.
By the way, I thought the funniest thing I've heard about giant checks lately was Chris Kirkpatrick telling us that when NSYNC finally, after touring the world, you know, multiple times over, got a giant check when they really were starting to go, God, how come we're not getting any money from this guy?
Right.
And how much was the giant check for? Was it $10,000?
$10,000.
Yeah. $10,000. They had made millions upon millions for Lou Pearlman, and they get these giant checks for $10,000. Giant checks for minimal amounts.
Then he realized that he made more than that, about 60% more than that working at the restaurant over the summer the previous year.
That's right.
How ridiculous. All right.
Admitted to accepting bribes and cheating kids out of school supplies. Alexander admitted to taking $23,000.
We're so hurt.
And hurt is what a federal judge may very well do when Alexander is sentenced next month. But now some people in the community want to see Mr. Alexander not in jail, but back at Spain.
I don't think so.
I'm looking for a miracle.
This miracle is Twinkie Clark, a member of the Grammy Award-winning gospel group, the Clark Sisters.
Oh, Mike's
sisters.
She says
Alexander should be back in school.
He's a praying man.
What do you make about these allegations that he stole or took bribes?
They're not allegations anymore.
I think that he was stressed, and he decided, I don't care.
The government is recommending a prison sentence between 19 and 24 months.
Care.
Alexander's attorney told me that he should be judged by his lifetime of good work with kids.
Every day, God will make a way.
He needs to be back in the school.
Generally speaking, judges do take into consideration statements from people that knew that
she doesn't look like she has student or kids that would be in elementary school. So she just knows him.
She's just a buddy or friend or something. I mean,
off.
Seems like it. I know, the whole thing just...
Nice being a friend with a criminal.
But, you know, right. It's not
who
just
steals
her.
From children.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a collection of parents from the school who are also pitching for this guy. It's like
because he's a nice guy on the outside, then they want him back. They're willing to forgive that he stole from their children.
He embezzled from the fucking school. He stole from children. I mean, this is another one of those where this is not a story. This should not be a story. It doesn't matter. Of course, there's people who don't want him to go to prison. There's people in his family who don't want him to go.
He was stressed.
Yeah, I want to rob a bank if I'm stressed then. Is that okay?
And you just decided you don't care.
It's really major bullshit.
Wow.
Let's try the...
Charlie is really busy.
He did every story tonight.
He did.
every news story was thrown out. Oh, here's Charlie Langdon.
This story just really bothers me, and this one is another one that is not going away.
Can you hit, when you hit play, can you hit exit to get rid of all that info on the screen?
Yeah.
You accidentally hit it, so there's all this info on the screen. of like what you've recorded and what's on demand. Sorry for being anal.
What time is it on my TV? Is it 17 after?
18, 19.
Oh, this is LaDuff story, which is very good, by the way. But
dirt,
the one
yeah.
I want right now.
You're kicking that rock.
Yeah, Charlie was. Charlie
it
was
a great story.
He was in fine form, I have to say.
It was a great story. Well, the best thing he did in that story, and I'm glad he did this. I almost texted him to tell him about it. I hate when people say, "Well, take your questions in writing," meaning email us. We'll sit in this group, think about our answers, and email you back. So he had him on a little notepad and just ripped the questions off and handed it to him to submit his questions.
But
in
that
writing.
Wasn't good enough, was it?
Of course not. He's just basically calling them out for their BS.
Oh, Clinton's here for Labor Day.
He's gonna be. I'm gonna be in a parade.
Oh.
You know, Labor Day, that's the big, the stupid walk across the...
Right, the bridge, yeah. Ambassador Bridge. Yeah.
That is the biggest non-story. Again, every year, you know you're going to see that story on Labor Day, and every year I go, oh, this stupid
Nobody
story.
Nobody cares.
Okay, here's the second story I felt was worthy of our time.
Protesters storm Detroit McDonald's demanding $15 an hour for all fast food workers.
This is McDonald's on a work day. People are in there trying to get their Big Mac and fries, their McFlurry, whatever. And these protesters are yapping and screaming about $15 an hour, which, by the way, it looks like this is going to work for them. All this yelling and...
Layla.
It's not going to work for them.
Oh, we have a protester.
I don't know. I have a feeling that Hillary Clinton is going to see this. Well, although, I don't know.
I have a feeling the restaurant industry is a pretty big lobby.
Well, I don't think
small
you
businesses.
Can just will people to up pay from, you know, $9 to $15 without altering the entire landscape?
I don't think these people don't realize these are small businesses either. They just think they're major conglomerates. Yeah,
right. By invading their space and upsetting them during the lunch hour,
I feel bad for the workers,
customers.
Once again, look at how this story just gets traction and gets traction and gets played, and here's another version, and they're protesting again, and it's on TV, and you know, it's actually got a lot of people thinking that they're going to get $15 an hour because they want more money.
Yeah. Well, where's that money coming from?
Look at all the work I've done. Look at what I did to lower your costs. Look at all the skills that I've... No, I just want more money is the whole point of the story. Is I need more money. I can't raise a family on what you're paying me at McDonald's. That's their point.
Right.
Well, you're going to have to do twice as much work, and that guy's fired. Seriously, that's what it's going to come down to. There's a labor cost.
Well, there's also, this is another interesting part of the story. USA Today had a little graphic where they asked people, what about people currently making $15 an hour? If they up the fast food pay to $15 an hour or minimum wage, what about the people currently making $15? Should they get a raise? Should their pay stay the same? Or, I forget what the third option was, but 63% that said they should get a raise.
How much?
I don't know.
And to what? To what the market can bear?
I would think it'd be pretty significant because if they're getting bumped up $6, then they got to bump. And plus the jobs, when you see how many jobs that require skills, the McDonald's people making $15 an hour will make more than, I mean, it'll blow your mind. Yeah. Why wouldn't their pay get upped?
Yeah, firemen then.
They need more money too. There are other professions, but they're acting like this is a profession. And you can't raise a family on you can't raise a family on $9.50 or whatever they're paid, but anyway, I'll just finish this story.
It happened at the 6 Mile and Greenfield location. The restaurant was virtually shut down, unable to serve customers as the demonstrators blocked the counter. Organizers say their fight is for all working people, not just those in the fast food industry.
We want $15 an hour for the fast food workers, for the retail workers, for child care, health care. We want police officers to have $15 an hour.
Oh, great. So everybody else gets a raise, too?
Yep, everyone.
All those people get a raise.
Minimum and wage.
More. So I'm going to back that up because I'm going to consider what kind of work to go into.
An hour for the fast food workers, for the retail workers,
retail.
Child care, health care.
Child care, health care.
We want police officers to have $15 an hour and more. We want firefighters to have $15 an hour and more.
Oh.
This is an all-across-the-board effort.
Oh, wow.
To get people a livable.
So I guess the taxpayers are going to have to pay more taxes, and if police and fire are getting a raise, right?
Then we'll need more money.
Well, I wonder.
So we'll need more money, so we'll need to get raises. Right. The taxpayers need to get a raise.
Uh-huh. He's a reverend, so I wonder, why doesn't he hire some of these people at $15 an hour? Give him a job. Sure, he makes plenty of money. Yeah, he's got a Mercedes hat on.
Mercedes.
Oh,
that's relatable to the people.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And he's a preacher, right?
Yeah.
I want to be a minister.
He's also going to protest Trump's visit to Detroit with the other black preacher because it's not him.
Wait, because he's not going to his church?
No, I'm sure I made that part up, but he is protesting Trump's
What, visit. He's not allowed to come to Detroit?
Only if he talks to him.
No, I'm serious. What is the basis of the protest?
Donald Trump is an opportunist. This guy will reach out for a vote from the worst fish in the sea. He doesn't care if he gets a vote from a rock. Well, rocks can't vote.
How does he know all these things?
He's outsourcing jobs overseas, yet you're talking about making America great again.
Well, he's the Republican candidate. Doesn't he have a right to speak wherever?
True. Of course.
I mean,
go home to mommy.
I just can't believe some of the shit that just goes on these days. It's like, really?
But look, really? Look how many people are there at that protest. 30?
If that.
40, maybe? Back it
every
up.
Time the story comes up, it's a story.
Oh, man.
Maybe he is giving them money. But it's a maybe story they're his protesters.
They serve customers as the demonstrators block the counter. Organizers say their fight is for all
working
people.
Oh, there's maybe 15 people.
Not just those in the fast food industry.
They make some pretty nice signs.
We want $15 an hour for the fast food workers, for the retail workers, for child care.
I want a job, period.
We want police officers to have $15 an hour and more.
Give me a job.
We want firefighters to have $15 an hour
get
and more.
Get a fast
more.
Food job, Mark.
This is
$15 an hour.
The board effort to get people
it's on
a
my resume.
Wage.
Eventually, the protest moved outdoors. Police arrived. They issued no tickets and made no arrests.
No, does McDonald's just have to put up with this shit?
I think so.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it continually happens and they just...
Well, what are they supposed to do?
Why can't McDonald's say, get the fuck out of here. This is a place of business. I mean, really.
Then they come back with a bigger protest.
Right, because they're...
Just let them leave and go do it elsewhere next time. Hope they do it elsewhere.
Do they buy anything while they're there?
No, but they use the bathroom, though.
Oh.
That should be off limits.
Should be.
Doesn't everybody do that? Go to fast food,
yes,
McDonald's?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretend you're going to order, protest, and then go to the bathroom?
Golden Arches is one of my favorite places to go because their bathroom's usually nice and clean.
Oh, they're the best.
Yeah.
Immaculate.
Yeah, for a roadside session in the bathroom. Hard to beat McDonald's.
Yeah.
There was a session.
I know, but you hear roadside session.
Well, gas stations are hit or miss. They're 50-50.
Gas station, God. I mean, is it just tradition? I wonder where the tradition started where gas stations' bathrooms can just smell like sewers and it's okay. And you have to go get a key to go in and you open the door and you're like, oh, I got a key. This must be a pretty nice room. Oh, God. Oh, the humanity.
Yes.
Oh, God,
there's
doo-doo
and feces all over the place. Ugh.
They really have a stench that tops the stench of all stenches, don't they?
Oh,
gas stations.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Brutal. And it's cleaner to actually not wash your hands because who wants to touch that sink?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny sometimes you walk
through? Smell good enough for you in there? How do you like the smell? Is it good?
Yeah, it's great. It's funny, too, at the gas station, sometimes you pull in because you have to go to the bathroom or someone does, and someone decides that, no, I can tell by looking at this gas station that this bathroom will not be usable.
It'll be like train spotting.
Yes, pretty much.
God, I hate that scene in that movie.
Oh, I know. It's brutal.
Gross.
Okay, so now one other piece of audio was the woman, was it an Uber or Lyft ride?
Lyft driver.
And the driver has a little dancing doll.
A little Hulu girl dashboard doll, and she's a bobblehead.
I've seen those before.
Yeah, they're cute. They had one in Pineapple Express. Remember?
Oh,
character?
Yeah.
They've been around forever.
I kind of like that.
Those things.
But woman thinks it's the devil or it's evil?
She thinks it's disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
To the Hawaiian continent.
Oh, come on.
She allegedly is a... graduate
stupid
of the University of Hawaii in women's studies.
Yes, this is why she's taken on.
Allegedly. And then she started a porn site. Softcore.
A porn site?
Softcore.
And she's bummed because, well, the devil. This is different than
and
porn.
She's getting a ride from a person, and he's giving her a ride in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And she's paying for it, but she bitches him out for the choice of his dashboard.
I guess her personality is... Maybe leave something to be desired.
Well, be the judge yourself.
Okay. I'm excited to hear it.
She doesn't like the microaggression.
Yeah.
She needs a safe space.
Let's hear m'lady.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, lady.
You thought that was adorable. You didn't think about, like, the pillaging of the, like, continent of Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
continent of Hawaii? Isn't it a state?
Okay, so you get rid of the doll then. Because that was like a really cute thing that you found at Goodwill.
Wow. Yeah, he's trying to defend himself.
But so obviously, like, you as like a white male, you were like the least, like. No, I'm not judging you.
Yeah, you are.
I'm just saying, like, that perhaps, like, you might be the person who is least hurt in this situation. I'm a passenger in your car. Like, that doll is offensive to me.
It's my car.
But you don't want to take it down because you, like, found it at Goodwill and it was such a good find.
Peace.
Yeah, no, I do want you to because it's actually deeply offensive. No, I do want you to take it down.
All right, well, I mean, obviously you're going to give me a one star, but I'm not taking it down, so I'm sorry about that.
I'm going to do worse than give you a one star.
One star.
What?
Or at the next exit, I can't do that, but...
No, I would like you to take me to my destination.
And
you're going to be on Gawker.
Gawker?
No, on, you will be published on Gawker. And you'll be like the next internet meme. It's going to be super funny. Yeah. I mean, like, God forbid, like, anyone take your special Hawaiian doll away from you.
I mean, what's more convenient is how offended you're getting by that.
Because it's a thing that actually affects my life and a thing that doesn't affect your life.
I'm Asian as well. So
okay, so what is your Asian heritage?
It's irrelevant.
It's actually super relevant.
Super relevant.
Yeah, so
why? So he's allowed to do it if he's Hawaiian?
You
can't appreciate someone else's culture?
Yes, I do actually care a lot.
So there's another passenger who's arguing with her now.
It's hilarious.
It's important.
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 Did you say it was pathetic? Yeah. Can I have your name, please?
Jade.
And your last name?
Green.
Thank you.
Jade Green? Sounds like a fake name.
Passengers are fighting.
You're the first bad experience I've ever had with Lyft, and it's unfortunate that it has to be like that.
I'm excited.
I'm a very respectful person, and the fact that you're taking offense to that, like, I'll take a picture
That's
of it.
That's a disrespectful object that you have in your car, and whether you're Asian or not, you should be considerate to the fact that you might have passengers that don't find that thing to be. No, I just said, like, you can set it down for a second. It might be not amusing to all passengers. You're going to experience this
just
again,
said
by
it's
the way.
Super glued,
and
idiot.
So I hope that from this lesson,
this
like today.
Lesson. You're being rude, actually.
No, I'm not being
there's
rude.
There's one way to tell somebody something, and there's another way in which how you're
or
doing
just
it.
Just don't tell at all.
Oh, because I wasn't nice enough to you?
I've been pleasant to you this whole time.
I wasn't nice enough to you for this thing. That's fine. I've been video recording the entire time. I'm excited.
That's cool, and I'm being respectful.
No, you're not. You have been actually very rude and extremely entitled.
Titled?
Titled?
What?
I'm sorry.
Silence. He didn't know what to say.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you have no consideration for actual Hawaiian people who don't want to be a bobblehead item in your car while you're driving for Lyft. You f***ing selfish, dumbass idiot. You are being rude. You have no connection to this culture. Do you know what that is? That's a cute little bubble item that you had in your car that you don't know anything about, and you're an idiot.
Thank you very much for your opinion.
Yeah.
You're like
you're
an
welcome.
Idiot.
Maybe you will think about it tomorrow when you wake up in the morning.
In the morning.
That's going to be awesome. Thank you so much. I'm ending this ride right now.
I can get out.
No, you can
just drop her off
at
the side of the road.
You don't have to. It's
no, yes,
car.
You
I'm
do.
Drop off. Here's the sidewalk.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm so excited. Can I have your name again?
Nope. Have a great
yes,
night.
Yes, I can. Can I have your name again? We'll all just stay here then.
Well, then. This is my car. Can you please get out of
no,
here?
No, I won't.
Poor
call the police.
Guy.
Call 911.
Okay.
About how I won't leave
I
your
wish
car.
You would.
I wish you would the
no,
other passenger.
No, I can't, but you can give me your first and last name.
Wait, doesn't the other passenger a friend
here,
of hers?
No.
No.
How can you have two passengers?
Share.
Oh.
Holy
what did she do when she got out?
She
the weirdest he took off. Of my entire life. About how I won't leave your car.
So she posted this thinking that she's so in the right, she wants everyone to see it.
Yeah, she thought it would flatter her.
She is one self-aware human being. Let's say.
One last scene. Here's what I'll do instead.
Like,
see ya! See ya, bitch!
I got a question, though.
Weirdest side of my entire
I love the passenger, the other passenger.
Yeah.
And he could not get away fast enough so that I couldn't get his license plate number. How cute.
How cute.
Ooh. Oh my God, is she bizarre?
Is this an example of the Periscope and the Facebook thing being a venue for this person to get attention? Yet again, I hate to sound like a broken record about that. But
yeah, probably.
Because, like, everybody's going to watch it. And, you know, she made sure to confront this guy about something no one else would ever care about, right?
No, you, that's all you care about.
Well, actually,
I feel
real,
like
there's real hula dancers, though. I mean, that's a real occupation.
Yeah,
in
it's
Hawaii.
A real culture.
It'd be like putting somebody in lederhosen up there, and if you're of German heritage, not liking it.
Was that chick Hawaiian?
So she says.
I thought he said, I'm Asian like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But he's not Hawaiian Asian. He's a different.
The comments, though, are like just people are like, oh my God. I would have booted her out within 5 seconds of that.
Oh, so she's universally being.
Yeah, she's hated.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
So what's her voice?
Hey, Charlie Sheen got a mention in, was that in Detroit News
Mart? Free Press.
Any comments yet?
Let me check.
Oh, yeah.
Last time I checked, there wasn't.
Hey, did you see Vladimir Putin got arrested in Florida?
Yeah.
Vladimir Putin got arrested in Florida?
He's really let himself go.
Oh, my God.
The mugshot of the guy is...
Wow.
I wonder what Vladimir Putin feels like.
The resemblance is stunning.
It is.
Wow.
I
mean, that looks like a guy that had plastic surgery to look like Vladimir Putin, doesn't it?
It does.
What if someone did that? I mean, how weird... Anyone would want to look like him.
You should Google him and see what the other Vladimir Putin who lives in Florida looks like. But he was yelling at people.
One that was arrested?
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen him? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you had a picture of Vladdy.
No.
Vladdy Putin.
What was he arrested for?
He was yelling at people in Publix.
War crimes?
Just like going off.
Vladimir Putin.
Just popping off. Yeah. I mean, same sort of behavioral tendencies, so...
Wow.
No comments yet on the Sheen story.
What?
Speaking of world leaders, Kim Jong-un decided to assassinate somebody.
Huh. Yeah, this is quite a story. Somebody crashed while he was speaking?
Yeah, Ri Yong-jin, senior official of the education ministry, was sentenced to death after dozing off in a meeting led by Kim. Ri was taken into custody and interrogated, where at which time his alleged disloyalty was discovered. But here's the best part. How did they execute him? With an anti-aircraft gun.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
There'd be nothing left.
A little overkill, wouldn't it?
Huang Min was also sentenced to death after his plans to improve the country's agricultural production were seen as an attempt to undermine Kim's authority, which is probably true because isn't that how they keep people down there, by not growing any food?
Oh, right, yeah. Everybody's starving to death.
But he was also executed by an anti-aircraft gun. That's apparently...
What does an anti-aircraft gun do exactly?
It takes down
planes
in the sky. So it's pretty high caliber.
What kind of explosiveness would it have?
Jay, this is your area of expertise from former military.
I mean, if you shot one... If I shot one at Mark from right here, like, what would happen to him?
Obliterate me. And the rest of the block.
Wow. I wonder where this guy was when he was shot by the anti-aircraft gun.
Where distance?
They put him. Yeah, I mean... What would be the ideal way to shoot someone with a gun? I mean, how far away would they need to be?
In an aircraft.
Right.
You'd ideally put them in a plane, I would think.
Don't tell me he was flying this guy somewhere. He had made this guy fly somewhere.
Yeah, they sent him up in a little, like a little personal
plane.
Shoot
you down in an anti-aircraft gun.
If you were Un.
Or if you didn't know how to fly a plane.
Like, you will get on the plane and fly! My Un is rusty, but...
That's pretty good.
To give the guy flying lessons. And then shoot him down. So you can learn to fly, so you can shoot him down with the anti-aircraft gun.
But not teach him how to land. You never need to use that.
Jay's showing me the gun now. That's quite something.
Do you want to execute someone with it?
Yes.
Somebody I really want to execute, that would be exciting. Oh, there we go. God, I wonder how far away the dude was. Like 5 feet away?
It doesn't say. It was done at a military academy, so I'm guessing it's probably at a shooting range, and he's at the end of the range.
Yeah, had to be far enough away. So.
Do you think they give the guy a roofie, and then they just like take his limp body and just set it up somewhere where it's near the anti-aircraft gun, and then he wakes up and he's like, oh, what's going on? Oh, my God!
I don't think they really care about his feelings.
Probably not.
Right.
I'm just guessing.
Probably Un liked that sort of drama, though, the scenario that you set up, Drew. That's kind of brilliant.
Yeah, he would dig that.
Yeah.
Since we're in the international news section, did you hear about the brawl in the nudist beach in France?
A brawl? Oh, wait, was this over a burkini?
No. It was over a group of young people that weren't nude. A group of male teens. Didn't want to strip, so about 10 youths were said to have entered the nude zone, clothed at the beach. And I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce this, but it's in Bordeaux.
You're in the nude zone.
Nude zone. The scene soon turned ugly. Well, I'm sure some of them weren't that great to begin with, but the scene turned ugly when the teens reportedly began staring and behaving provocatively around some of the naked women.
Yeah.
The men had been staring at the women in the breach. In breach of French nude beach etiquette. Do you know there's nude beach etiquette?
Oh.
That'd be interesting to hear. I know no cameras is a big part of it.
No, apparently no staring at women. Other bathers confronted the teens, telling them to either get nude or get lost.
Was it a physical fight?
Yes.
Really?
That's when the brawl began. It was quite a sight. Both naked and clothed people fighting and throwing sand in each other's eyes, screaming abuse and hurling punches.
Oh, wow. Now this is where the no camera rule really sucks.
Yeah, you think there'd be security, right?
Fighting would be bad nude.
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing three things flailing.
Yeah, boy.
Then the riot police had to show up. I wish they had body cameras.
Yeah.
We got
sand
a few,
in each other's eyes.
We have a few phone numbers we should try and make use of while we still have some time left. Mm-hmm. You got Alcor, Jay?
Yeah.
So Alcor?
Yeah, they're the place that freeze if you want to extend your life. And hopefully there will be something invented between your death and forever.
Oh, okay.
That will be able to bring you back to life because your head or your body has been completely frozen by Alcor, and apparently they know the right temperature to freeze you at so you can be unfrozen and put back to life when they figure it out.
Right. I've frozen things, though, and after a while, like they get freezer burn and you have to throw them away. How does that not happen at a place like Alcor?
Well, this is the kind of question we have to ask.
Do we dare bring up the tuna fish can?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
The tuna fish can.
Yeah, remember Ted's head was just sitting on a tuna fish can.
Oh, yeah. That and was it fell and it cracked, too.
That's what they used as the base was an empty tuna fish. Which is pretty, you know.
It's perfect.
For a life hack, isn't such a bad idea.
Yeah.
But you might want to maybe put a label on it. Well, so considering, it looks like you made it specifically like head holding unit.
The DJ Steve Aoki paid $220,000 to Alcor.
Alcor Life Extension Foundation Emergency Answering Service. If you are calling to report the death or near death of an Alcor member, please press 1 and remain.
You actually got to hurry up and get you frozen.
An operator will assist you and then immediately contact our emergency response team. If this is not an emergency and you are requesting general information or would like to speak to an Alcor representative, please press 2.
All righty. Heads up.
So with the answering service, how may I help you?
Hi, this is Drew and Mark and Trudy, and we're calling from our broadcast in Michigan. We've been talking about Alcor services on our program, and I had a couple questions about, I'm thinking about purchasing the, well, perhaps getting frozen when that time is appropriate. Death, I suppose, right? Hello?
Okay, well, you've reached the answering service. Were you wanting to pay to be on call or leave an office message?
Oh, there's no one to talk to right now?
No, the office is closed. I can take an office message and have someone call you if you like.
Wait, is there an on-call person?
Okay, let me see. Let me just
I think there
on.
Is.
We got a body.
Maybe you can answer the question. Lady?
Okay, you're...
Could you possibly answer a question?
Maybe. I don't know the answer.
I understand that you can either purchase a situation where just your head is frozen or if your whole body is frozen. I'm just wondering, what's the cost difference between freezing your head and your entire body?
Well, Okay, that you would definitely have to speak to someone in the office.
Okay, it's more for your whole body, though, obviously, right? I mean, it takes up more space. Certainly be an inventory issue, I would assume. Oh, obviously. Okay. So you answered my question. But I've got a few more if you get the on-call person.
Okay. Actually, I'm not going to be able to take the on-call. Is your call regarding the death or near-death of an Alcor member?
Is that what you do? Or people call, like somebody dies and they have only so much time to get the body to you so you can freeze it soon enough?
Our family members call in if they have passed or near death.
And how long do they have to get the body to Alcor?
Honestly, I do not know, sir. I don't know the specific question. I can't answer your question.
Well, what's the drill? If somebody in my family, if I said, oh my God, somebody in my family, they just passed away and they've got this Alcor contract. What do I do?
Well, when you call, I page the representative and they call you back immediately.
Oh, that's the on-call service. Okay, I thought the on-call service was for people with questions like me.
No, sir.
Do they always call back within a very short time period? I would assume that it would be time-intensive.
Yes, they call back. We call the representative, and they call whoever called back.
Okay. And how many calls do you get in a night like that, where somebody dies and needs to be frozen
fast?
Well,
I take many different calls, so I don't just answer for this account. So, I do not know how many comes in for this account in particular.
Well, what other kind of calls do you get? This is pretty cool. What a cool job.
I've only taken... It can be.
Yeah, it sounds interesting as hell. I mean, what else besides the family member that's, of course, upset, but they know that they're going to be frozen by Alcor, and who knows, they might be brought back to life at some point. Yeah. But what other kind of calls do you get?
Well, we're just a doctor's answering service. Patients, hospitals, calling for the doctor on call.
Do you represent any
family members,
proctologists,
home health?
We're really interested in Alcor, though.
I mean, you're got stuck in there.
Okay, well, you'll have to call back, sir. You'll have to call back tomorrow when they open.
Can you just give us an example of one other kind of Alcor call you would get?
I don't know.
So the answer is no.
She's holding out.
The answer is no.
She's holding out on us.
Aw. Shame.
Can we leave a phone number for somebody to call back?
Let me see here.
Just tell them that somebody's really upset on the phone. You can't tell, but they might have had somebody that might have died who needed freezing. You're just not
Unfortunately,
sure.
Unfortunately, I'm not able to leave an office message. You'll have to call back. To redial the number you dialed and choose the option to either speak to or leave a message for the Alcor staff. So you can leave your own message. So call back. Call the same number back.
Well, what number do I push you so I don't have to waste my time going through the whole menu?
It doesn't tell me, sir. It's telling me to have you either...
You should memorize that. It would be
just
helpful.
Mash it.
To choose the option to either speak or to leave an office to leave a message for the Alcor staff.
Okay.
You ain't dead.
You've taken up enough of our time already. Thank you. I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
Oh!
It had to end like that.
Oh, way to go, Drew.
She laughed. She was... She appreciated our humor.
Meanwhile, bye-bye. Someone died trying to get a hold of a doctor. Time.
And then what if we heard a clicking like every 5 seconds?
The clock ran out.
That's not much of an on-call service there.
Well, yeah. Where were we calling? Where are they? Where's
Arizona. Arizona. That's why I thought the office would still be open because they're in Arizona. Arizona doesn't go full West Coast for part of the year. That's right.
Oh, God.
Okay, Andy Dick was also on the list. Andy Dick and who else? Rollo?
Yeah, Roland Winkler.
And anybody else besides Rollo and Andy?
Did we decide that...
Oh, Ebb from Green Acres.
Huh.
do you know who Ebb is?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
You didn't seem too excited about Ebb.
Please forgive me for not showing more interest in calling Ebb.
Do you know who, you don't remember him though?
Very.
He's the farmhand.
I was so young when I watched
that. He worked for Mr. Douglas.
Was he in the news? Why were we calling him?
Oh, because of the Green Acres bowling.
Oh. That's a little loose.
Tom Lester.
Well, now I'm more excited to talk to him.
The connection was extremely loose. But Mark, or Jay thinks he found him.
Calling, this is Andy. Please leave a message with your phone number and your name, and I'll get back to you.
Oh.
Hope you have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. At the tone, please record your message.
That sounds great.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Andy Dick, hey, it's that podcast in Michigan that called you last week with Drew and Mark and Trudy, and we're really pumped to talk to you. I mean, we don't need that much time. Mark and I called you on our sports station a couple times. Maybe was it last year or a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
We had some great – man, you gave us some great interviews, I got to tell you. So.
Plus, once again, it's football season. We want to talk about Division III.
Yeah. How's that for an excuse?
Very underrated.
And the fans of Detroit want to hear you again.
Yeah, and people want to know, are you still living in that storage box or whatever?
Sweet.
Come on, Andy, please call us back or pick up the phone when we call.
Charlie Sheen did.
Yeah, we just talked to Sheen.
Yeah, you think you're better than Sheen?
You dick!
Come on, Andy. Jay, you want to leave him the number?
Yeah.
Just for shits and giggles?
See ya.
See ya.
Huh.
Bye-bye.
We got lucky when we called. We just happened to get lucky, and he just picked up the phone when we called.
Yeah.
He wasn't screening or anything. But he talked to us for 20 minutes.
Wow.
He was awesome. I thought. Remember that, Mark?
Yeah. No, he's really cool.
And then we talked to him a second time, didn't we?
I think we've had him on a handful of time.
Oh, you know what? We should check into Chris Hansen. Do you have a contact number for Chris Hansen? Because
we tried him the other day.
He's got a new show.
We tried him the other day.
Hansen versus Predator.
Right.
The phone just rang and rang and rang and rang and rang.
Really?
Yeah. Remember when we called Hansen? We could try him again. I just don't know if he'll answer. We left him a message.
Well, why would we call him when we can call Ebb?
Well, that's true.
From Green Acres.
If we don't get a hold of anybody, can we just roll the Rolodex and see what pops up?
Sure. Absolutely. We've always had fun doing that.
Plus, it cleans up my phone if the numbers don't work.
It seems to be a pretty lucky lucky roll most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you see Mel Brooks on Fallon? He's alive!
Mel Brooks was on...
Fallon about Gene Wilder. Ooh.
Whoa.
Ebb?
Hello?
Is this Mr. Lester?
Yes, it is.
Did you play Ebb on Green Acres?
Yes, I did.
No way! It is!
Cool. Ebb!
This is Drew, Mark, and Trudy. We're calling from a podcast in Michigan.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. How you doing?
Well, hello. Greetings from Green Acres and Hooterville.
Oh, I hear the voice now. You sound the same. I'm so pumped. I want to call you Ebb.
You can call me Ebb.
How are things going?
Well, okay. Everything's going kind of hanging there. I don't work much in the industry anymore. I can't do the kind of stuff they do.
Oh. Is that because of some limitations?
Well, it's, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff is really bad.
What does that mean?
And so I can't do that.
We saw your website. You look you look just like you used to, Ab.
Well, I'm a little older, but not a whole lot.
Yeah. Obviously you have strong feelings about your religion and the kind of material coming out of there. What about a Disney project or something like that?
Well, Disney projects are wonderful, and anything like that has a wonderful group that are putting together is fine with me. But something that's not the right kind of thing, I can't do as a Christian.
Is there a movie that you were in at one time or a project you were in where you look at it now and you go, oh, what was I thinking about? That was way over the line.
No.
No?
Okay. I never did a movie like that.
Just curious.
Yeah. What about an episode of Green Acres that you thought might have been over the line?
Green Acres was wonderful every time you got in the booth and started whatever your thing was.
What about when Mr. Haney wasn't being terribly truthful?
What about what?
When Mr. Haney wasn't being terribly truthful.
Mr. Haney.
I'm just kidding.
He was wonderful.
He was. No,
everybody was wonderful in the show.
I agree.
Don't make them like that anymore. See, Paul Henning was the fellow who created all these. And he was a top guy. The reason I stumbled a little bit, I've got Parkinson's.
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
well,
I didn't even notice.
Okay. Lord's taking care of me, but I'll mumble a little bit.
We didn't even notice.
I couldn't do that on Green Acres.
No, you sound good.
But anyway, Paul Henning put our movies together, and he was wonderful, a great guy.
Oh, he did the Beverly Hillbillies, too, didn't he?
Yeah, see, he formed Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
And then after that, the first day after that, he realized that how good the lady was in there. And so he talked to CBS and asked them if he could also use her. And they said, sure. And so he moved her into her own series, and that was Petticoat Junction.
Oh, right, Aunt B.
And then after that, he and Jay Summers, who was one of the writers and creators, they wanted to make a movie. They wanted to make a movie with Arnold the Pig, and so
what?
They worked that out.
Arnold Ziffel.
Was really terrific. Green Acres, it was not another show like Green Acres.
No, it was a great show. It was.
It was a good show, and so anyway, we were glad to be a part of that.
I
was in it for 6 years, and then they canceled it, and canceled all the other country shows with it, and went to what we've got today on TV.
Was it on CBS? Green Acres was on CBS Network?
I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Was it on the CBS Network?
Would I do what?
Was Green Acres on CBS?
No, let me see if I can remember.
The network CBS?
Are you dying
just
to know?
A minute.
The answer is yes.
Hold on a minute. We have a little noise. Here.
Okay, that's all right. It was.
Tom, did you live in Los Angeles?
Oh, listen, a dear friend of mine wants to get your name and number. Oh.
Okay.
Jackie Peters. And she'll tell you about herself and what her family was.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It's real interesting. Her husband was a brilliant, brilliant
writer.
What's
that tapping?
And then I'll come back to you.
He's on he's up on the telephone, Paul.
Well, heads up.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. Who am I speaking with?
It's Drew, Mark, and Trudy. We're on a podcast in Michigan, and we found Mr. Lester. We were talking about Green Acres and Ebb, and we happened to look him up, and what do you know? We got lucky. And who am I speaking with?
This is Jackie Peters.
Jackie, what do you do?
Well,
screen phone.
I'm in the music publishing.
Oh.
And I'm also a realtor.
Oh.
And
cool.
That's what I do.
I see. He was. The line is something's terribly wrong with the phone line. We're having a really hard time hearing you. And we're coming off against a break here. Maybe we should call back when we can get a better line. Something just stunts him right
now
here.
Give me your number, Drew.
I'm having a hard time hearing. I'm just saying, no, I think you asked for the phone number. It's hold on. Jay's going to say it to you off the podcast because I don't want it to be on the air.
Okay. All right.
Okay. But thank you.
Thanks, Jackie.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Okay. Hello?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I cannot thank you enough for doing that. Oh, it was painful.
Sorry about that.
It was pain. What did you get out of it? Did you get anything out of that?
That was borderline to start with.
Clearly. Yeah.
But I wanted to ask him, though, if he lived in Los Angeles, or while he was working on the series, there's
all the sin out there?
Certainly, yes.
What you're thinking about?
Certainly come across.
Well, that was funny. That's when he suddenly couldn't hear when you asked if he lived out there. Yes.
It's like they shot it at Green Acres, wherever. It was on a back lot somewhere where there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Now, was Hogan's Heroes also on CBS? Was it filmed in the same lot? Maybe he saw some of the stuff going on.
Oh,
down.
Bob Crane was up too? It freaked him off.
Yeah. He was scared straight by Bob Crane.
I want to know how much work could you get if you couldn't stand to be on any project out there?
I was looking at his credits. He played the dad of Pistol Pete Maravich in 1991.
No way. He did?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Pete was hot.
He played Press Maravich.
Press?
Show off.
Father's name.
Really?
Yeah. His dad was his coach in college at LSU. Huh. Pete Maravich? Oh, you dug Pete Maravich?
Yeah, I thought he was hot.
Chicks did dig him.
Yeah.
Ball hog.
He was a ball hog.
Yeah, he was
that.
He was great, though.
Yeah, he averaged 44 points a game at LSU.
Did you really talk to her, Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, why? Back on. Oh, no.
Oh, Eb's back on?
Let's just say goodbye.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Eb.
Okay. Eb.
Hello?
Hello. Yellow.
Yeah, boy.
That's good thing.
Oh, hello.
Mr. Lester.
Hi.
Mr.
Tom?
Lester?
Tom?
I don't know how to call him back.
Tommy,
hey,
you
Tom?
There? Oh,
Tom!
You can't hear. Tom?
Tom!
Tom!
Hello, Tom.
Start screaming, Drew.
Hey! Hey!
God. Hey, now whoa. I feel like we got blown off after Trudeside Boomer off. Boy, that was a blow-off boomerang.
Isn't it amazing Eb doesn't understand phones because that's what his problem was in Green Acres?
That's right.
He wasn't acting, Trudy.
How did that bit go? How did that bit go? Because I remember he was up on top of the telephone pole.
Yeah, somehow you had to take like a handset and go to the top of the pole and plug it in to talk, and Eddie Albert would have to climb up. And
I can't believe you remember that. That's so funny. Because the house was never done.
Right.
There was always working on the house. For 6 years, they're working on the stupid house.
It was a piece of shit, yeah.
And it seems to me like was it the closet? You opened up the closet and you could see outside?
Yeah, right. And wouldn't there be, like, Mr. Kimball standing there? Like, you open the closet, Mr. Kimball's there?
Sounds like it to me.
Looking
through
the...
Mr. Kimball. Mr. Kimball is great. Hank Kimball. That wasn't a bad show.
I forgot, though, that they called Petticoat Junction. That town was Hooterville. Yes. How do you get away with that, being a Christian?
I know. We should have hit him with that.
Hooterville.
Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
That is just bizarre. I can't believe that was actually Eb. He's just listed in, where in South Carolina?
Mississippi.
Okay.
Well, he's got that brilliant lady screening everything, so.
Right. What? She's a music publisher.
Wait, why?
And a realtor.
Why did he put her on the phone?
I don't know if he put her on as much as he just took over.
Yeah, did you hear in the background she was bustling around?
Oh, was she?
He's like, don't talk to those people.
That was her wrestling it away from the whole time.
I thought, was it like a Jimmy Stewart situation?
Jimmy Stewart takedown?
It will be in 5 years.
Jimmy Stewart, who clearly had picked up the extension to talk to us. And then when his caretaker picked up the phone, she heard he was on the phone, and she was like, Jimmy, I've got it. And then you heard her put the phone down because Jimmy kept talking to us?
Yeah. And he was like,
oh no.
Calling back.
Don't answer it. Don't answer it. Hello?
Yeah, let it go to voicemail. That's okay.
I think we got everything out of Eb that we are ever going to get out of him.
But we were talking to Jimmy, and we'd maybe gotten one more line out of him, and then you could hear in the background going, Mr. Stewart, and then Jimmy's like, I, and then click, phone hung up, and we determined that Jimmy Stewart was being killed captive by some phony caretaker that was abusing him. But he really did. He was like, I, and then phone just hung up.
Oh, God. It's like a horror movie. He couldn't get it out time.
Oh, my God.
And then he was dead.
I'm being held hostage. Help me, please. I know you're in Detroit, but get some help. Call 911.
Because he's Jimmy Stewart, he always had to talk like, I.
Yes. And she said, because we called back, of course, we were so worried about Jimmy. But she said, Mr. Stewart has retired from public life. Wait, so he can't talk to anyone? He's retired from talking to people? What is this? She was bizarre.
Yeah, she sounded very brusque. What?
Yeah, at a minimum.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so for the next podcast, we have saved. We have Andy Dick to call back, and we also have the other call we didn't make was to... Oh, Rollo! Rollo.
Oh, yeah.
Leif, yeah.
Ready for a bomb.
Leif Lot? Yeah, I guess we call Leif. And Rollo. I'm more excited to talk to Rollo.
I know. He's got all the money.
I wonder if he'll play his keyboard at the phone. He probably has a phone patch where he can patch it down the line.
I would have thought so, but you can't find his music anywhere online anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
He had that whole website.
I got to tell you, whatever he's doing, it's going to be badass. Because he's a pretty badass guy. Although, remember we were looking at his Facebook site, and he's really into political memes.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Who's he? Supporting then?
Not Trump. I think it was not Trump.
Oh.
I'll have to look. Maybe I could be there. I could be wrong on that.
This is a bit of a stretch here, but could Rollo be related to Johnny and Edgar Winter? Is that possible?
Possible?
Sure, why not?
Mark? I mean, the hair. He's got the hair.
Yeah.
I guess.
He's got the light complexion.
The skin tone?
He's got a very light complexion.
Yeah.
Now, see, I would have thought you would have said Henry Winkler since they have the same last name.
He has
ready for a bomb.
He has musical inclination.
Yes.
As well.
Absolutely.
Somewhat questionable, but.
No, he definitely. He looks like he could be the nephew of Edgar and Johnny Winter. That's young nephew.
The coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Yeah.
If he was my friend, every day I'd ask him, what the hell happened last night?
What the hell happened that night?
Every day. Be like, hey, what the hell happened last night? Hey, Roland, what the hell happened last night?
That story, what sucks about that story is here these guys were like, you know, something akin to best friends. for all these years, and then
it's
they get
a terrible story.
Leif gets into this terrible car accident, and the only thing he remembers about it, the last thing he remembers about Roland was Roland telling him to straighten his legs out.
Yeah,
and his legs were straightened out.
Yeah,
but he was in terrible pain, I guess, and he was paralyzed, and so Leif, after that, was told, you can't talk to him. He's going to be suing you, and so anything you say, you know, could be used against you in the lawsuit. You know, if you admit you're wrong or you say sorry, you know how they've always said that. Yeah. Oh, they changed the law now so that you can't actually apologize and have it not be held against you. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, that exists, I think, for doctors.
That's cool.
Maybe for, I don't know where else that has.
So for what,
any water.
What that's worth, then.
Yeah, for what it's worth, because doctors have always been afraid to apologize.
Yeah.
Because they would say, oh, so you apologize, you're admitting wrongdoing, that's damages, you ass.
Who's the dick that came up with that to begin with?
I know. Oh, somebody who just wanted money.
Can't ever just apologize because something bad happened.
Accident. These guys were best friends, and he couldn't have any contact with him. So he had not talked to him in all those, was it 20 years? Not 20 years. It was a long time. I mean, it was 20 years. Yeah. And Roland did indeed win the lawsuit, and he won all of Leif's money.
Oof.
It was like $1 million, and Leif only had Leif, I don't know if Leif even had $1 million, but he basically won every dollar Leif had ever earned.
I would bet that Leif would have blown it on its on drugs at some point anyway.
Yeah, so it's probably better in Roland's hands.
Yeah.
And Roland, why was it the best thing that ever happened? Why was it the best thing that ever happened to him?
Because he realized that being a roller skating pinup teenager was very shallow in life.
Wait, Roland realized that?
Yeah, Roland was like a stud or something. Remember the poster of him and his roller skates?
Of Roland?
Yeah,
Roland. Oh, I didn't know that.
Roland was like a budding teen star, and he was hitting the bottle pretty hard, too. Obviously, they were partying that night.
Leif Garrett's celebrity net worth is $1,000.
Oh, boy.
See if Roland Winkler's up there. What if Roland Winkler's up there? $1 million. He's not up there. Not a big enough celebrity, unfortunately. Wow.
How much time do we have? Can we just roll the Rolodex for one?
Yeah, we'll spin it for one more.
All right. Yay. Trudy, you say stop when I tell you to say
okay.
stop.
Okay, all right.
I'll let you pick it.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go. Oh, wait. I don't know who that is. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Spinning the Rolodex.
Stop.
Al Jean from The Simpsons.
Oh,
Al Jean from The Simpsons. That's huge.
You want to?
We probably should set that up, though, because he's been really nice to us.
Oh, the next one's Ron Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
Ron
What's
Jeremy's
really
cool.
Who
the hell is French Jerome? It's a phone number in France for some guy named Jerome.
Oh, it's Jerome.
Do you remember ever talking to someone?
Jerome.
It seems to really ring a bell. What was Jerome?
I have no idea. It was important enough to save his phone number.
Some really obtuse phoner we made.
Luke Jensen's on the same page.
Luke!
Oh, Luke Jensen.
What is Luke doing, I wonder?
You know what? Now would be the time to call him because of the U.S. Open.
He's commentating.
He's done commentating before, yeah.
That's true. I kind of think maybe, should we roll it again? Should we spin it again?
Denard Robinson's on that page. Yeah, I'll spin it again.
In Grayling? I didn't know.
Yeah. Huh. The Jensen brothers?
Yeah.
Say when.
Go.
That wasn't when.
Stop. When?
Justin Rose from Channel 7. Yeah. Michael Rosenberg from SA. Yeah. Those are real. Rosema. Yeah.
Oh. Rosema, just saw him.
Dan Rudiger.
Dan Rudiger. Wait, Dan
Rudy.
Rudy.
Rudy
Rudiger. Wait.
Rudy Rudiger from the movie Rudy?
Rudy Rudiger.
Based on Rudy?
The real Rudy?
Yeah. Dan Rudiger. That's his
no,
name.
Rudy Rudiger.
Let's see if that one works.
It works. I have no desire to talk to that
it would definitely
idiot
work,
right
yeah.
now.
All right, spin it again.
Right. Rudy.
When?
You know, it's funny. It's Drew. I'm in the L's, so there's Drew. Say when
Call
again. Because we were in the L's last time.
When?
Okay. That person, no, no.
Oh, for God's sake.
Mr. Bob Greasy.
Just Bob Greasy.
And then Brian Greasy. And then John Grease.
John Grease, Uncle Rico.
Yeah, you want to call Uncle Rico?
Why not?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay, throw pigskin a quarter mile.
This is the way you could just start the conversation
for football season.
We were spinning celebrity Rolodex, and you came up.
You know, Harbaugh used that in a tweet not that long ago, too.
What, spinning the celebrity Rolodex?
No, Uncle Rico. He had a meme of Uncle Rico. Did you see that?
He did?
Really?
Yeah. Throwing a football?
Yeah, because he said back in, it was a picture of him from 86. It was back in my day, used to be able to throw the football a quarter mile. There were a couple things like that.
That's great.
Yeah. John's been in a couple things, I think, recently.
Yeah.
He actually had more of a career than anyone in that movie when it came out.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Do you remember Real Genius? Do you remember that movie at all with Val Kilmer? I used to love that movie.
Real Genius?
Kid. Yeah, Real Genius.
I don't know that movie.
And Val Kilmer's like the punk, brilliant guy. And then John Grease is like the Laszlo, the guy who burned out and lived in the closet. You don't remember that movie at all?
No.
Do you remember that, Jay? You remember Real Genius? Okay.
Wow.
Total. Okay.
Well, when you said Val Kilmer, I felt like I should know it.
It was the height of Val Kilmer's like spiky hair phase.
Val Kilmer,
1985, Real Genius.
Hmm. Wow.
I kind of feel like Val Kilmer's career has been a disappointment.
Nothing? Voicemail. But it works.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
It's interesting. Voicemail box is full. Check this out.
Oh, no.
Cool.
Total blow-off.
Hmm.
Oh, you think it's fake?
Sorry. The mailbox is full, and there is not enough space to leave a message.
Fake.
That's it. Do. Hmm. All right. We should wrap it up.
All right. All right.
Bummer.
But we'll be back. We went over. We went well over.
We talked to Ev.
Yeah, we had Ev.
Unfortunately.
Oh, it had a good ending.
He's a nice guy. He's happy.
Not for Ev.
We had to unload somebody. And
just let him be happy.
We've got Ev calling the house now every 5 minutes.
I know. He won't answer.
He's gonna call me tomorrow, I bet. It is really funny having the studio phone in your house.
Right.
Last night I got this out-of-area call. I'm like, I wonder who this is. I pick it up. Because I didn't even pick up that phone for the first month or so. I never picked that phone up. But then now it's like an adventure. So last night I picked it up. It's Tony Todd, Charlie Sheen's buddy.
Cool.
Because he's been listening. They were listening to the podcast.
Oh, my God, Charlie Sheen was listening to you guys. Talk about him. To him.
I think he's really concerned about, you know, how he's imaged these days because, you know, he had AIDS the last time he really talked to the media. Was announcing he has AIDS, which really sucks. And then, you know, the way things went down 5 years ago, that was all pretty wild and crazy. And I think he just wants people to know that. He's, you know, living a fairly normal life.
Sounds like he's ready to get back at it.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely. He wants to do movies. But, you know, people are afraid to insure him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of misinformation out there, I guess.
I had never heard about his high school or college baseball skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Major League that he had baseball skills, but he was talking about his arm and it was.
Yeah. Well, Tony was talking about his arm last night. I guess he had a really good arm. And I got to tell you, this clip of him on YouTube stroking balls, and I think they're goofing around with some, I don't know if they're Dodger farm players or if they're college guys or what, but Charlie is spanking the shit out of the ball. He's a left-handed swinger, and honest to God, the thing that reminded me of immediately was because I'd seen Tebow taking batting practice. He's got real good bat speed like Tebow.
No stride?
He doesn't have a long stride, but he hits the ball. I mean, he was hitting balls over the fence. He was smoking. I bet he takes a lot of BP.
Is he a lefty?
Yes.
Does he throw lefty?
He's lefty. I don't know. No, I think he throws righty.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, how did he play shortstop?
Yeah.
Well, that's the perfect combination. Throws right, bats left.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what scouts used to love. Huh. Anyway, so yeah, that was a lowdown. He never got to play in college because he got kicked out of high school his senior year.
Yeah.
For non-regrets.
I know, that was sad.
For truancy and misbehavior. And I think he missed his last year of baseball.
Yeah.
So and then he was in a couple movies and I think but honest to God, he looks good enough that I'm shocked that he didn't play more baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
After that. He looks that good, I thought. Anyway.
Well, we had him as an actor.
Yeah, that was cool.
I think it worked out. I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, made $2.5 million an episode on Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trudy comes to you courtesy of 94.7 WCSX Classic Rock with Trudy and Jim in the morning. Mark is from Berkeley, of course.
Yeah.
Plug the Facebook. Plug the
Twitter. Oh, yeah. The plugs are... Oh, I can't even read them from here.
At Drew Mike Podcast or Facebook.com/DrewMikePodcast.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
At Drew Mike Podcast or www.facebook.com/DrewMikePodcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And yeah, keep those retweets coming. Trying to get that Twitter number up. Oh, boy, it's a lot of work. I'm tweeting. Are you tweeting much these days, Trudy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey. Are you?
Like a bandit, yeah.
Are you really?
Do you
you have to or do
oh,
you
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I so want to. I really want to.
You've been throwing some tweets out there.
Yeah.
How many followers do you have?
Cosmic. Well, you know, thanks in part to my association here, 2076.
When did you start Twitter? On CSX?
Years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think you were on Twitter until recently. So
she tweets a lot about me. Every once in a while, I'll tweet.
I do.
And when I tweet, you know, not that many people are watching her tweets. When I tweet, they watch.
It's so true. He's really the master of it all. He's the Zen master of tweets. Oh,
I think he should have spared himself a few tweets.
Possibly, but
someone should watch what he tweets before
it
goes
out.
That's what
makes him exciting.
Yeah. You know, they really need someone else to push the final button on the Twitter. But anyway, yeah, this is what makes it exciting. You're right. Anyway, thanks, you guys, and we'll be back tomorrow. It'll be Mark and I, and who knows, there might be another surprise third person. So we'll see you then.
See ya.